morning. Coach Faggett, I would appreciate it. Thank you. His wake is this evening, so for those of you who have not yet had a chance to pay your respects, I suspect our meeting will end relatively quickly, and we could certainly do so if you'd like. Item 3A is to consider a request from the ALS Les Turner Foundation to solicit donations in Geneva on Saturday, May 9th, 2009.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Singer, seconded by Piper. Is there anyone here from the Les Turner Foundation tonight? It's a great group, by the way, headquartered out of California. And, of course, they exclusively fight Lou Gehrig's disease. Mr. Dakota?
Yes, I will repeat a question I asked today to Mrs. McKittrick. Do we have a policy on solicitation in Geneva? I think we can expect more and more people soliciting funds from our population, including those who live here that have a worthy cause. And I'm just wondering if we should not give some consideration to kind of developing a policy of some sort. Either a territory, someone from California, should we allow them to come here and solicit funds from this population? A cause. It's all kind of, I'm not saying I would be appropriate individual to make a decision on this policy, but I think it's time that we give some thought to developing a policy to control this solicitation, really.
Well, I believe the policy is that the request must be approved by the City Council. That's probably the full extent of the policy per se, and I'm not aware that anyone has ever, or any council has ever, denied anyone that request.
I know, that's what scares me a little bit.
But, you know,
it doesn't scare me, but I'm saying, something we should give some thought to, is what I would suggest.
I think in the spirit of Alex de Tocqueville, it is the essence of what America is all about. When people in need ask their fellow countrymen to give, they can give freely or they can simply walk by, whether it be the Red Kettle campaign or Les Turner. So if you want to know who Alex de Tocqueville is, Mr. Piper, I'll talk to you after the meeting.
I do.
1833, I think, when he visited us.
Something like that, yeah, I think you're right.
Geneva Alderman, second ward. Yeah.
That's right.
I remember it well.
That's right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Item 3B is considered bid award and contract with Pitstick Farms for farming at Prairie Green Preserve at a lease rate of $303 per tillable acre. And
Second.
Dakota and Singer. And our dear farmer is with us tonight. He's in the back, not looking like a farmer at all. He kind of looked like Mr. Piper, which is in and of itself frightening with that leather jacket on. That's supposed to be thumbs up, Bob, not the...
Oh, easy.
Any questions or comments from Mr. Unch?
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Singer, then Mr. Dakota.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to compliment Mr. Unch on the basis of putting this out for bid as he did. I'm sure Mr. Dakota is thrilled, probably in a static over that issue, and that you were able to obtain the tillable acreage at that price, which is comparable to what it is downstate. That was well done, sir. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Mr. Dakota?
Yes, I am happy. After all these many years, we finally have conceded. You're the first one to acquiesce to competitive bids, I might add. Others are still fighting it, I think, or ignoring it, or finding ways around it. But I still believe in competitive bidding, really. And so I thank you also for pursuing this. Thank you.
Anyone else? Comments or questions from Mr. Unch? I think Mr. Barclay's going to be in a sugar high. How many boxes do you buy?
One of each.
Good God, man. Don't touch my thin mints. Dick, well done. We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Item 3C is the presentation of miscellaneous fund budgets. And we have a number of those to present tonight, and it has been requested of me, and I think all of you agree that let's hold any questions or comments until after the presentation regarding the particular subject is made, so that we don't interrupt the staff's presentation flow. course, because this is a public meeting and there are a great number of people present this evening who might have questions, we will always defer to questions from the audience first, and then we'll take questions from the dais. So without further ado, I present to you the City Administrator, Mary McKittrick.
I just wanted to walk through these budgets. I thought that it might be helpful. You have a copy of the presentation in your packet as well as a spreadsheet for each corresponding slide that I'll go through. I'd like to start, first of all, with the cemetery fund, just to let you know that the operations of the cemetery fund are primarily based on the sale of plots. Revenues are projected at $95,489, same as expenditures for the 2009-10 fiscal year. The policy of the city on the sale of the plots is to allocate 50% of the sales revenue to operations. 25% is to go to the endowed care fund and 25% to the new development fund. At the present, however, all plot sale revenues are going to the operations in order to cover the expenses. We don't have enough revenue coming in at this point, and as you recall, these are levied. All of these funds are levied. There's not enough money coming in through the tax levy to cover the operations. So at this point in time, all of the sale of the plot revenue is going toward operations. The endowed care fund is at $277,085. This is a permanent fund with interest used as revenue under normal operating circumstances. And the new development fund at $79,639 is for the development of new areas, land purchase, property capital types of improvement. At this point in time, we are looking at, and you'll see this in your spreadsheet, $10,000 allocated from the cemetery fund toward a truck replacement, with the balance, $33,000, coming from the general fund. And that's because about 25% of the use of that truck would be for the cemetery use. The next fund, next budget, is the commuter parking fund. Revenues in the amount of $465,000, operations $186,000, and I'll just round that off. Capital $314,000 with a fund balance of $128,000. You'll notice that capital $314,000, in order to take care of all of those expenses, $35,000, almost $36,000, would need to be covered by reserves. That would include about $1,000 for a new bike rack, and of course it depends on the type of rack that you get, size and style, of course. $6,000 in capital expense allocated for a community service vehicle. And that is the community service vehicle that you will recall that Chief Mexen came before you some time ago and asked to place a hold on that price for the next fiscal year in order to maintain the current year pricing on that. So $6,000 would be coming from this fund. Purchase power has increased. Lighting in the parking garage has gone up considerably, and you can see that in the amount that we're proposing to allocate for the 2009-10 year. Maintenance of the parking lots has increased. At this point, for the 2009-10 fiscal year, we're looking to contribute $16,500 from the commuter parking fund and then $16,500 from SSA1. And those funds we're looking at lot maintenance for the overflow lot on Route 31, as well as the two lots north of City Hall, the upper lot and the lower lot, are the ones on the schedule for this year. It has been in the budget for the last couple of fiscal years that the parking fees were proposed to be increased. They were increased a couple of years ago, as you recall, but if you look back in the budgets for the last couple of years, it was proposed that they be increased again not this coming fiscal year, but the following fiscal year in 2010-11. So that's something to think about as well. Also, as you know, which has been brought up most recently, is that we can anticipate about a $30,000 decrease in revenues from permits due to the third rail project, because we will be losing approximately 100 spaces. At this time, it is my hope that we can renegotiate those leases that we have and hopefully recapture some of that lost funding. Debt service fund, this is for bond and interest expenses for street improvements, Prairie Green, public safety. $25,000 is levied or is abated for the fire station number 2 and $160,000 for Prairie Green. This results in a deficit of $16,500. This is the fund or the budget that basically has all of our debt service in, with the exception of as I said, Prairie Green and Fire Station 2. Those are separate, but those we abate. We levy the taxes, but then we abate the taxes so that we pick up the expense through the general revenues as opposed to those to the taxpayers picking up the cost for those. And that's done on an annual basis. This next budget is the dental group claims. As there was a note in this, the fund name has been changed from group claims to dental group claims. I just thought it was clearer because that's what it covers, is dental claims, as opposed to, I thought that group claims implied that it was medical, and this is for dental. This reflects a 7.5% increase. As you recall, last November, we renewed our health insurance and our dental insurance, and there was a 15% increase. Because we renew it mid-year, that equates to a 7.5% increase for this upcoming fiscal year. The next year, then, it's a blended of the year before and the year after that we have to look at. But for this upcoming year, it's 7.5%. And you will see that as we go through the general fund budget and some of the other budgets, you'll see that increase reflected. $10,000 in reserves are transferred from unused workers' compensation fund balance to cover this. Question was asked this afternoon about participants, and we have 179 participants in the dental program. Fire station number 2, this is the fire station on Fargo. Revenues anticipated at $18,000, expenditures $25,000. And again, these are to cover bond payments, but we need to take $7,000 from our reserves in order to cover that with our fund balance at $131,000. These funds are collected from impact fees from development, and as you can see in the budget, we're not anticipating a lot of revenue there because we don't anticipate a lot of development this upcoming year. Fire pension. These are the, you'll see fire and both police pensions. And there was a question about the replacement tax. You have a handout in front of you that just describes what replacement taxes are. I thought you might be interested. Paul asked the question this afternoon. Replacement taxes are revenues that are paid to local governments to replace monies that they lost back in the early 90s, actually, when they lost power to impose personal property taxes on corporations, partnerships, and other businesses. So the state took that authority away from local governments, and then they came back with what they refer to as replacement taxes. And that sheet that you have in front of you explains the formula that they use to allocate those funds. So that's what those are. And some of our 11% of our replacement taxes go to this budget, and I believe the other one you will see is the police. I don't remember right offhand, but I think that that is 19% replacement tax of our replacement taxes go to that. We get about $80,000 a year in replacement taxes.
Is this separate, Mary? Or Kevin, should we wait till the end?
Yeah, I'd wait to the end because my suspicion is that a lot of the questions that we might have might be answered during the presentation. Let's just make a note of what questions you have, and we'll watch Mary try to thumb through all these slides and get back to the one.
The fund balance, these are to cover pensions, fire and police both. These are to cover those public safety pensions, and the funds... And the monies in these funds are handled by those boards, those respective boards, the police pension board and the fire pension board. And they work with actuaries as far as their investments go. And this is something that we are required by state statute to include in our budget, but we really don't make decisions about the investments. That's done by their boards. And we take the information provided by their actuaries to plug into our budget document. Next is the IMRF, the Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund. Again, this is a required fund by state statute. This covers pension for non-public safety employees. And I think you all just received most recently the information that I sent out about the loss in investment earnings that IMRF has most recently seen. They are looking to increase the employer's contribution drastically to make up for these losses because they have pending benefits, they have pending pensions, and this is a defined benefit plan. By state statute, that's what it is. And without having the state statute changed, there's not a whole lot that we can do about it. It is something that IMRF has said that they will phase in over time, as opposed to saying we need this made up immediately in this upcoming budget. In our general fund, you will see that we are plugging in a 14% increase in this fund right now. Our percentage is about 9.79, I believe. But in order to start making some ground, which we have to by law, we don't have a choice. We have to up that number. The employee's contribution rate is 4.5%, also set by state statute, and that cannot change. That question has been asked many, many times by me, particularly through Metro West Legislative Committee. And if you can find a legislator that would like to tackle that, I'd be happy to talk to them. But so far, I haven't been able to. So. Anyway, this one right now is going to be problematic over the next few years in catching up with those lost investments. But again, that's required by law. We don't have a choice to do that. Next one is the Mental Health Board, with revenues projected at $193,445 and expenditures at $166,000, which is basically the disbursements, the distributions that are allocated out on an annual basis, with a little bit of general expense on that for a recording secretary and membership dues. But the revenue basically is the tax levy that the council enacts in the fall and is collected the next year. Policy of the city is to distribute 85% of the funds that are levied to local not-for-profit groups. And the last year, what you recall, or actually this current fiscal year, a $20,000 loan was repaid from this fund to the general fund for the group home. Also, Paul had asked about the distribution. So in front of you is a revised spreadsheet for Mental Health Board, and I included that list of 2008 distributions so that you've got the amount and the name there in front of you for each of those. and that was a total of about $135,000, $136,000 this fiscal year. Next is the Motor Fuel Tax Fund, and these are distributions from the state, and this is on a per capita basis. Revenues anticipated this year are $579,000, with expenditures at $575,000. These are projected numbers that we receive from the Illinois Municipal League, and they are anticipating X number of dollars, and we just multiply that out times our population, and this is what we anticipate. These revenues are allocated to the capital improvement program, including street, curb, sidewalk, and miscellaneous improvements. And again, we receive the amount based on a per capita basis. Next is the Prairie Green Fund. Again, these are bonds that we to date have been abating, but as you will see looking at the spreadsheet, funds are dwindling. We don't have very much money left from the bond issue for this upcoming fiscal year 09-10. We have anticipated that we will do our best to sell 2 acres of wetland credits in the amount of $90,000. We do have 2 farm lease bids that brings in money, and that has we did receive 2 bids this year, and we've increased the number of acres that we farm, and we've also increased, as you know, the dollar per acre this calendar year. The tax levy is abated. However, the closing fund will not support future base abatements based only on the farm leases and the potential for wetland credits. We don't have any other revenue coming in. And if we are, in order to sell those wetland credits, we have to do certain things, as you will also see in the upcoming budget. We have to install monitoring wells. We have to have someone certified that can basically report on the status of the wetlands on an ongoing basis, and obviously that costs money to do that, but these things must be in place, as many of the other hoops that we've already jumped through in order to get certification to sell these credits. But the IEPA requires certain standards be met, and the city is trying to do that. And once we get to this next phase, these monitoring wells installed, then we should be able to sell the wetland credits if, in fact, there's any developer out there that may be interested in purchasing them. That's the next hurdle that we tackle. At the same time, staff is also working with the Geneva Park District and Kane County Forest Preserve in talking about long-term acquisition and stewardship of this property. Again, this is the police pension. That is fund balance of $14 million revenues and expenditures. As you can see, this is levied. We supplement by contributing 19% of our replacement tax to this fund, and this again is set by law and the police pension board as far as their investments and their actuary who give us those numbers to plug in. And it's by state statute that the investments are overseen by the board. And what do I want to say? Monitored and audited by an actuary that gives us then the information at the end of the year. The Refuse Fund revenue for this is $318,000 with expenditures at $309,000. We've talked before about keeping the pickup in-house, and staff had suggested at that time that in the upcoming general fund capital improvement list or special projects that a leaf pickup machine would be needed in order to continue the in-house service. The operating expenses are down 8%. There is no leaf pickup or no increase in the leaf pickup fees or the brush fees, and the closing balance on this fund is at $72,000. There were a couple of questions, just as an FYI. The bulk leaf collection vacuum line item in the spreadsheet at $5,000, that is for maintenance. The bulk leaf collection disposal at $21,000 is what we pay for spreading the leaves on the farm property at Prairie Green. We contract that, and on an annual basis, we contract that out. Our leaf pad is, not currently built out, and that is, you'll see 2 years out, we've got a line item in there for access road, and that's something that we've talked about for quite a while, which we then won't have that cost. We will be taking those leaves then to that the end of that access road. And we've talked about using the access road for not only trucks to get the leaves to the northwest corner of the parcel, but also potentially using that for a pedestrian bike trail too. But that has to be worked out to see what kind of conflicts that might cause. Just a couple of other points, because I received questions on them. The contract billing services at $3,600, that's just an allocation that contributes to the utility billing printing, as does water and electric and wastewater. The miscellaneous hazard waste payment, that is a program that we have participated in with the county. That $7,000 is what we have paid the county in the past. We receive money from Allied, our refuse hauler, and then we pay the county to participate in the hazardous waste program. However, I think you may have seen most recently information from Dan saying that the county was canceling that for this year. So it looks like that program won't be in place for this year, and he gave other locations, one of them I know being Naperville, where residents could take their hazardous waste. The next one is SSA number one. This is the downtown business district primarily. The tax levy is 13%. There's a ceiling of 30 per the SSA ordinance. This fund would be contributing $16,500, again, to improvement of public parking lots. And again, this fund would be also contributing $6,000 to the community service vehicle that we talked about before. The commuter parking fund would be contributing $6,000, as well as the $16,500, and so would this fund. We have proposed $11,000 for streetscape and beautification, $5,000 going to beautification for flowers, $5,000 for benches, and $1,000 for a bike rack. Wages, just as a clarification, in the past I believe that it has been noted that wages for the streetscape maintenance costs are about 50%. In going through the numbers and crunching those, I believe that a more accurate number is 25% that this fund is contributing to that. And you will note, looking at this, just simply the SSA number one is funding about half of the expenses. The other half is a contribution from the general fund, so it's really not supporting itself. I'm speculating that over time expenses have just continued to be added one at a time incrementally, and at this point in time it only pays for about half of those expenses. On SSA number 16, that is the Fisher Farms budget, and it covers maintenance contracts for retention and detention areas. The other SSA are listed there, revenues at $92,700 with expenditures at $83,700, and those other SSAs, again, cover maintenance of those stormwater areas. The East 8th Street TIF business district. There's a 13.8% increase in revenues. Operating expenses are proposed at $81,000, with capital about $367,000. The tree nursery fund, this fund is to be used for parkway trees, primarily from, as I understand it, I think this was, and I don't, Steve's not here tonight, I don't think, but this was the Wheeler Fund, I think, as some of you might know it, and it's primarily to an endowed fund, to endowment fund, so that the interest creates some revenue in order to purchase trees for parkways. And in the past, it has been noticed that depending on the Emerald Ash Borer situation with the city, that this fund could be used if needed. Workers' compensation, again, this is statutory, required by state statute. We are self-funded. We do have a third-party administrator, but we are self-funded. We're projecting revenues at $213,000 with expenditures at $168,000. Covers workplace injury claims, and again, it is required by state statute. Working cash fund, this is... Working cash fund is really, I guess, an old type of fund that many governmental entities will have, just basically as a fund so that shortfalls can be addressed and so that you've got some cash on hand. Before so many funds were created over the years, municipalities had working cash funds so that they could go to those and use those if they needed to, and they didn't have another fund created. So it's really just kind of a leftover from days gone by. But at this point, we're just looking at revenue and expenses being at the same level. The interest is transferred to the general fund on a year-to-year basis for IMRF shortfalls, so the interest does help with that. And again, it just reduces the need to borrow from an outside source if you can use this fund. And just a point I wanted to make, that as you note, I've just gone through 19 miscellaneous budgets, but we did have 21, but we're trying to consolidate and restructure a little bit. So I've taken the ESDA budget and incorporated that into the fire department budget. I've taken the fire and police commission budget and incorporated that into the legislative budget, and you'll see those coming up on March 23rd. And that is for a couple of reasons. I believe that, well, I know that best practices in budgeting and finance is to reduce the number of budgets that you have. If you have a couple of line items, it makes more sense to roll those into an existing budget as opposed to having an individual budget for that. The staff liaison oversees budget development and financial transactions. In the case of the ESDA budget, the fire chief will be that staff liaison overseeing the ESDA budget, and he can help the ESDA coordinator to create that budget. Same with fire and police commission budget. I oversee the legislative budget, and I will be, you know, helping the fire and police commission, working with them to develop it. Because for the most part, these are volunteers on these boards, and they do need a staff liaison to help. And finally, I believe it enhances accountability, consistency, and reliability to have a staff person overseeing financial transactions, as opposed to a volunteer group signing off and sending it directly to finance for whatever revenue or expenses. So at that point, I'll be happy to try to answer questions. Finance Director Weiss is here as well, and he has more history than I do on most of it. And I know some of the questions may pertain to Prairie Green commuter parking or some of those that are relative to public works, and we have staff here to help with that as well.
Okie dokie. Alderman Pollack, Singer, Dakota, and Maladra, and Flanagan.
Thanks. Ken, can we turn the lights back on?
We prefer to work in the dark, Ray.
Careful. Thanks.
Oh my God, Brenda Shore is here.
Oh, where that's going.
Yeah. Okay, kill the lights.
Kill the lights. That was a joke, by the way, Brenda. You're going to write that in the paper, too?
Comma.
Yeah,
not Brenda, though.
Welcome I'm back, Brenda.
I'm just teasing. Ray, all yours.
Thanks, Kevin. Mary, just a couple of quick general questions. You identified in the commuter parking fund budget a bike rack at a cost of $1,000, as well as in special service area number one, $5,000 for benches and another $1,000 for a bike rack. Is it absolutely necessary that we have these? We must include them in this year's budget, considering the times are as tight as they are.
No.
Okay.
We can take them out if you'd like.
Okay.
But we have heard requests from aldermen to incorporate bike racks to try to get people to take more public transportation. Put a bike rack at the train station or close to the train station, and relieve some of the pressure on the parking lots downtown. So.
Well, I certainly think that's a very noble gesture to use public transportation, but when it comes down to it, dollars and cents is what really matters, and if we can save $5,000 in benches and $2,000 in bike racks that we didn't have a year ago, I don't know what we're really missing. Keska, a couple more questions, Mayor?
Oh, sure.
Thanks,
Mayor. Mr. Mayor, before we go on, if I just can get clarification, if that's the consensus, I appreciate the suggestion, but I'm kind of at a loss if we move forward, and I don't know if that's the council's consensus.
Well, Mr. Pollack has the floor, so if he wishes to make a motion at the end of his remarks, he can certainly do so. And we'll take motions on the fly. Since this is a COW meeting, we can operate relatively casually.
Can we do it as we go along, then?
Sure, I have a problem with that. Yeah, so we don't get lost in the... Sure.
Well, then I would move that we strike the bike rack from the commuter parking fund budget, as well as the benches and the bike rack from the special service area number one.
I'll second that motion.
The motion by Pollack was to strike the bike rack and the benches.
Joe.
One sec. We have a second by Mr. Singer. Now it's questions relevant to the motion, folks, which is to strike those items from the budget. Mr. Pollack, since you made the motion, do you have a preference of whether or not we entertain questions from the audience or from the dais first?
No, it doesn't matter.
Let's shoot from the dais. Let's just shoot the dais.
Shoot the dais. Okay.
Mr. Maladra?
The bike rack at the commuter parking garage, I think, is important, especially when you consider we're going to lose 96 parking spaces sometime soon. The bike rack associated with the special service area number one, I could see that not necessarily being quite as urgent or important, particularly because I'm not exactly sure where we would locate it. And a $5,000 bench, I could also support waiting on that, but I'd like to see us keep the bike racks at the commuter station if we could.
I agree. Not that anyone asked me.
Did I say something wrong?
No. Mary was just making fun of your shirt. Mr. Buckley.
I was actually going to say the same thing. I'd prefer to keep the bike rack at the, at least at the train station, so I would vote against that. Thank you.
Anyone else regarding the motion on the floor? Mr. Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll point out that the bike rack committee has recommended the bike racks at the train station based on this summer when the bikes were a higgledy-piggledy mess. There was a huge number of bicycles last summer. The bike rack committee worked in conjunction with our public works people and managed to get two bike racks temporarily transferred from Harrison Street, was closed this year, to the station. They were fully used all summer, those bike racks. And this is, in some sense, a replacement for those ones we borrowed last year. I really think they're necessary. If anybody who noticed the number of bicycles last summer, it's really, I think, a wonderful thing that's happening as people are beginning to use their bikes. And as somebody pointed out, that relieves the parking. And I'll point out that we're spending almost $200,000 on parking cars. $1,000 to park bicycles, I think, is a small but necessary expense. I just wish it was more. And as a matter of fact, the bike rack committee recommended more at the train station. They also recommended the bike racks on 3rd Street, because there are no bike racks anywhere on 3rd Street. And people are beginning to use their bikes to come to 3rd Street. I encourage them to use their bikes, and more importantly, I encourage them to shop on 3rd Street. So I think these are wonderful expenses, and I will certainly vote against the motion. Thank you.
All we need is a bike shop on 3rd Street. We got the whole damn thing covered. Sorry about the language.
I could clarify.
If you want to clarify, then we'll go back to over here with the Piper. So.
Alderman Brown is correct that we were able to borrow the Harrison Street bike racks. We actually, in this current fiscal year, have ordered replacements for those. So the $1,000 for next fiscal year is an additional bike rack or two. So I just wanted to clarify that.
It hasn't changed my vote. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As an infrequent user of the trains, I have seen a lot of bikes and pedal-powered and motor-powered higgly-squiggly, is that how you describe that, Alderman Brown? All over the area, and I do believe that we do need to have another bike rack at the train station. It'd be nice to have one at 3rd Street, but if we're trying to pinch pennies, let's pinch that penny and leave it at the train station.
Mr. Piper?
I'd like to, can I propose a friendly amendment?
For the you? Friendly?
Well, sure. Oh, let's call it an amendment. Let's call it a slightly irritable amendment.
I pay for your cookies.
This is true, yes.
Thank you.
Not include the bike racks at the train stations, I think those are needed. But to obviously stick with the benches and the 3rd Street bike racks just for this year. And if I also may ask a question while I have the floor?
To clarify that friendly amendment, it is to eliminate the benches and bike racks for 3rd, but maintain the ones at the...
Maintain the bike racks for the train station, because as Alderman Brown points out, they were very heavily used, and we do need them.
Okay.
And then as long as I have the floor, I just have a question. Dan, what are we talking about in cost terms of bike racks? I mean, $1,000 could get us how many bike racks?
40. We've got two different styles that we're looking at. Down at the commuter lot, we're looking at similar to what Harrison is, a little temporary. They're not permanent fixtures, because we're looking at being able to, as suggested by the bike committee, being able to relocate those during special events like Swedish Days or Festival of the Vine. Those are roughly $450 a piece, so we'd be looking at getting two. We've got two out there now. We're replacing those now. We'd get two additional ones, so we'd have four total out there. The wavy ones that you see downtown, those are more expensive. Those are in the neighborhood of 800 plus. So that would give us one rack, basically.
They don't hold near as many bikes.
You're correct.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
There's a friendly amendment on the floor by Mr. Piper, which is to maintain only the bike rack at the train station and eliminate the bike rack and benches for 3rd Street.
I would agree with that, Mr. Mayor.
I don't think you can actually second the friendly amendment since you made the main motion. I have no idea what the hell I'm saying, but we'll just wing it. Mr. Hill makes the second, so how's it?
In the spirit of de Tocqueville, going back to 1835.
I'm just tired of looking at you. I just want to have Mr. Hill have a chance. Okay, the friendly amendment has been made and seconded.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, you don't need a second on a friendly amendment if the original proposer of the motion and his second agree to the friendly amendment.
I stand corrected and shall turn my microphone on for the remainder of the evening. So.
And I'll back away.
Second.
Second for turning the microphone off? This is a loosey-goosey, higgledy-piggledy meeting, isn't it? Okay, the friendly amendment stands. On the friendly amendment, any other questions from the audience?
My issue was covered by a number of the aldermen already.
Okay. Anyone else? Mr. Runch?
Just a point of clarification. There was mentioned that we did not have a plan or a location where bike racks would be located. The Bike Pedestrian Committee of SPAC has developed plan recommendations. The Public Works Department is in the process of evaluating those and costing those out. So, as a point of information, I want to let you know that a plan is in the works right now that's comprehensive in scope.
Thank you.
To deal with this matter.
Mayor, if I may add to Director Unch's comments, yes, indeed, and the bike subcommittee actually has worked hard on this, and they've gone out and traversed 3rd Street, talked with Public Works, talked with Director Unch, et cetera, and tried to locate, and even some merchants, tried to locate the places where these bike racks would be most efficiently used on 3rd Street to help traffic, help business on 3rd Street. So I, as I say, will vote against this motion because I would like to back up the committees for the amount of work they've done to try to develop this, I think, very useful suggestion. Thank you.
And I think it's safe to assume that while we use the term 3rd Street, it's really a synonym for the historic downtown district.
Correct.
On the friendly amendment, okie dokie, Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll call.
That's not the call on the amendment.
On the
call on the original motion as agreed to be amended.
William Barclay?
Excuse me, Mayor.
Yes.
Before the roll is called. I too, Alderman Brown, you pointed this out, would like to acknowledge the Bike Committee and the significant amount of work that they have done. Alderman, I'm certainly not minimalizing the work of the committee, and thank you for pointing out their hard work. Thank you.
Madam Recording Secretary, on the motion, as amended so friendly, Mr. Piper.
William Barclay?
Nay.
Chuck Brown?
Nay.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Mladra?
Aye.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
John Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion passes 8-2. Mr. Pollack still has the floor.
Thank you, Mayor. Moving on to the next item. Mary, regarding the fire pension fund and the police pension fund, you stated that it's their actuaries basically dictate to us what we would have to include in our budget as it pertains to the replacement tax. What I'm getting at is
they dictate to us what is needed in their fund. We levy for that. We also contribute to the fund with the replacement tax. And as I understand the law, we have to keep it the same replacement tax rate in that fund as when this law changed back in the 90s, I believe it was, when the replacement tax went into effect. If we were contributing to those funds at that time, then we must, by law, contribute at that same level.
So that level does not increase as a result of their bad investments, or does it?
It does not. As far as I know, it does not.
Okay, so we have consistently had to contribute, would you say, 19% and 11% respectively?
That's what they're showing. I did not go back in time to look at past budgets other than the two that are shown, the actuals for this budget year. So I can't answer your question.
But that's what historically what we've had to pay. And then as the replacement tax came into being, that's what the rate was set at, and we just simply carry forward with it on an annual basis.
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all, Mayor. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ray. Anyone else in any of the budgets discussed tonight from the dais? Mr. Mladra? Actually, I'm sorry. I have an order here. It's Pollack, Singer, Dakota, Mladra. Mr. Singer, it's been so long since all these friendly motions and amendments and God knows what have been flying back and forth. So, Mr. Singer, all your
Mayor. Mary, regarding the cemetery fund, generates revenues of $95,000. We had a situation here a number of years ago in which there was a deficit in the operating funds, and we moved in the direction of increasing the cost of the cemetery lots. Can we consider that process of recovering some of the revenue in that operating shortfall?
To increase those costs or those prices again, you mean?
Yes.
We have not, because I believe it was just a couple of years ago that those costs, those prices were increased. To my knowledge, the council has not discussed it since then. Don might know for sure, but I'm not aware.
No, excuse me, no, other than when I talked to Steve LeMaire, he said they would possibly look at, within a year or so, re-looking at the costs of the lot sales and all the different prices and take a look at that again and then bring it back to the council if it warranted increases. So
you're indicating that if this is to be done, it might not be done until next year or sometime?
Right. The current budget as presented will be adequate to cover next year's activity, and then Steve said he would look at it next year for future years, possibly having to look at the prices.
And I expect upon his looking into this issue, he will see just what other areas, of course, are.
Yeah, I'm sure that's part of his process. He looks at other communities, other cemeteries, and sees what's a fair going price.
Thank you, Don. The Metro parking lot fee, community parking fund budget, you're talking about the possibility of increasing the parking fees. I do believe, and I stand corrected on this, that we have an agreement with Metro that we have a contract with them that if we are to charge X amount of dollars or for each of the fee, whatever the fee may be, in order for us to increase that fee, we have to get agreement with Metro.
That's correct. They look at those communities up and down their line because they want them to be within a certain range.
Yes. Yeah.
And so yes, we would have to have Metro sign off in order to do that.
So we don't have any assurance that even though we feel we need to increase that fee, that it's possible that it would be increased.
Correct.
So that could result in another shortfall next year.
You're correct.
Okay. The pension fund, fire pension fund. Revenues generated just a little over $500,000. How is our police and fire commission responsible for the expenditure in these funds?
No, the fire and police commission is an appointed board that oversees basically the hiring, firing, promotion, demotion of sworn officers in both the fire and police departments. These two funds, the fire pension and the police pension, are different boards.
Okay.
They have a separate fire pension board and a separate police pension board, and those are completely separate and different from the fire and police commission.
Who appoints those boards?
The mayor.
The mayor does.
With both
the pension boards and the police and fire commission, with the consent of the city council.
Correct.
And within statutory regulations, there's a certain mix as far as retired sworn officers, management, public. There's a certain formula that we have to follow.
Okay. And then they are the ones that are responsible for the expenditure of these funds.
They're responsible for the overall investment strategy.
The overall investment.
Yeah, they can take bids from investment advisors. They have their own actuarial firm that represents them and advises them. So, okay. Well, it's Tim Sharper, not but.
Well, yes. Then certainly what we're looking to is that there's going to be some interest accumulated on these funds, hopefully.
Ideally, yeah.
And have you generated that into this process?
Yes.
The interest that will be come forth.
Yes. Okay. I can address that, but yes, it's investment returns, you know, and interest as well.
Okay.
The main expenditures in the pension funds are the payoffs to the pensionees.
Okay.
Plus the management of the two pension boards have outside firms that do their accounting and do their investment, and that's not the main portion of the expenditure. The main portion of the expenditure is the actual payout to the pensioners, if that's the right term.
I see. Yeah, I understand. Thank you, Don. Okay. The municipal retirement fund budget, you indicated that we're going to have to look to have that increase because presently we're at a deficit at this point in time. Do you have any idea how much of a percentage that we'll have to increase it to?
Well, IMRF overall lost about 25% of their investments. So right now, as an employer, we are paying just under 10%. We're contributing just under 10% of payroll.
Right.
And the employee, each individual employee, is contributing 4.5%.
Okay.
So we are increasing our contribution rate for the O9. We're proposing to increase it up to 14%. And we will get more information mid-April, is what they're telling us, as far as future years. Right now, we just don't know. They initially came back and said, you're going to need to plug in 15 to 20% increases because we have to make this up. And then the board, the IMRF board, made some decisions to smooth that out, and basically they implemented a phase-in plan.
Hopefully it's going to be over a period of two or three years. Or
they extended it, the plan, from a 23-year period to a 30-year period.
Oh, okay.
So that those contributions could be lesser, but for a longer period of time.
Okay. The special service area. I'm particularly interested in special service area number 5 and possibly others that I wouldn't at this point in time be aware of. What I have concerns about regarding special service area 5 is a service area dealing with Williamsburg. At this point in time, the Williamsburg school as such, wherein presently where it exists along Williamsburg, there is a special service area which is located directly across from that institution. And during this terrible winter, that area of sidewalk had never ever been cleaned. I have concerns about young people that are walking along that streetscape and into that snow area, and I don't see why we can't in some way have those sidewalks cleaned. That sidewalk, possibly other sidewalks that might be found in some of these other special service areas. I would feel comfortable if it was necessary for that to be done, that if there was to be an increase in the cost to that special service area, I think my constituency would agree with that. So I'm wondering if we cannot find what that cost might be to have that process done in the Williamsburg Special Service Area 5, and possibly if there are others. Dan, would you know of any other special service areas where this would be essentially needed for sidewalk snow removal? If we could possibly consider adding those to this cost as well.
I'm not aware of any other locations, and we can get a cost on what that would take. I think it would be part of the levy, I believe. But I'm aware of the situation that you're describing. I know the school district is trying to do the area in front of theirs. This is an issue at all the schools. How the students, how the sidewalks in those areas get cleared. Currently, the city does do some of that, but with our budgets the way they are, that is becoming less of a priority, to tell you the truth.
Well, could you possibly, Dan, look at the prospect of having it contracted to be done? And also, if what would be the initial cost if the city were responsible for maintaining the snow removal along that sidewalk? Could you look at those two prospects?
We can look at that, but we currently have a streets employee and a water employee that are not being replaced due to budget constraints. Therefore, our sidewalk program is, we don't have enough guys to actually man the sidewalk crew. We have all of our guys out doing the roads, so we don't have a crew available to do the residential sidewalks that we currently have on the list. That's why it was explaining that we're actually putting that further down on the list as far as when it's not something that we're going to spend overtime on. It's something that after the storm event occurs, a day or so later, then we would get to those sidewalks. I suppose we could look at doing something like that, but I'm trying to avoid adding to the program because it's been a challenge to try to keep up with it as it is.
Well, I don't see the difficulty here is we clean the main downtown area. And why couldn't that same machine be used just to take the snow off of a 3 or 4 lot area along Williamsburg?
Well, I think the challenge, Mr. Singer, and I'm well aware of this situation because I've received phone calls as well from residents in your ward and Dorothy's ward about kids traversing to and from Williamsburg. And I have had lengthy conversations with our friends at the school district regarding that very same issue. And as you well know, their facilities operations crew try to do their best when they, too, have time. Their first priority is to clear the lot, clear the playground, and clear the area leading into the school. I think the challenge here, quite frankly, is that if homeowners have kids traversing to and from their property, they have the right to shovel their walk or they choose not to shovel their walk. And that's the reality. I would not be supportive of investing any more city monies to do what proud property owners should be doing themselves. But.
Well, if we don't want to go in that direction, what it would cost to privatize to have that done?
But we couldn't assign those costs to homeowners unless they had a right to vote on that, and we'd have to have public hearings, et cetera, so it'd be tough. I mean, we have kids in the north of the high school who used to walk to Coltrap, and they'd walk on the streets because there's no sidewalks. I don't think it's a safety issue, per se. I think it's more of an annoyance, and it is annoying. There's no question about it. But, you know, I would say with all due respect to the mothers and fathers and kids who think that their lives might come to an end because their boots are sticky, this is ridiculous.
Mr. Mayor.
Well, if you could look into the issue and see what the possibilities are, I'd appreciate that very much, Dan. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That's all I have to say.
Mr. Devine, you had your hand up regarding, I believe, the cemetery fund?
Yes. Am I the only one in the room that doesn't know what it costs to get a lot there?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to try it out. come on to the microphone, sir.
It's a membership fee.
You always want me at the microphone.
Well, that's only because I have gotten thousands and thousands of calls saying, who's that good-looking dude that always attends the meetings? And
the singer.
I keep thinking it's Unch.
It's got to be. Yeah, since we were talking about the cemetery,
yes, sir,
and possibly increasing the cost to purchase a lot, I thought it might be good to know what the current cost is.
It's approximately $1,800. $800 for residents, $3,600 if you're just passing by.
But you're going to be a permanent resident.
Yeah, it's $800 for residents.
And the last time we increased the cost was a couple years ago.
2006, I believe.
Okay.
And that was at great controversy as well. You could imagine the debate. You thought the leaf debate was exciting?
Unfortunately, I missed that one, Mayor. You know,
we have the videos if you like.
Yeah, I'd like to see
on YouTube.
But thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Alderman Dakota.
All right, just a quick question on the community parking fund. There's an item for $50,000 this year's budget for Dotson Place. Could you refresh my mind what that $50,000, which was not spent 2809, has been rebudgeted for 2, 9, and 10.
This is money owed the developer for Dodson Place. There was a land exchanged a few years ago, and there was an agreement that the council approved for between the land exchange, monies exchanged, and this was the balance owed to that developer.
All right, coming back to my, okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, that's 8-1.
Alderman Maladra, then Flanagan, Piper, Pollack, and Vogelsberg. Actually, it'll be Piper, then Vogelsberg, then Pollack. So,
all right. Little questions. With regard to the cemetery fund, you mentioned land acquisition.
That's what the fund is set up for in general, for land acquisition, development of land.
So my question is, and I don't know both cemeteries that well. Aren't they landlocked?
Well, some are and some aren't. But you know, if an opportunity comes up to buy adjacent property, this is the fund that would do that.
Like the old library site, for example. Or Citron.
Citron. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. Pension funds. I noticed that half of the revenue is this item called interest/market. Don, what's that?
That's a guesstimate, sir.
That is just a guesstimate on the investments and their return.
And what return are we using?
It's right now there's no
return. Your guesstimate is based on a return, though. What right. return did you use when you're guesstimating?
Historic. There is no guesstimate right now.
Can I invest with you?
You can.
Sure.
This year is a very hard number to come up with.
1%?
The main idea of those budgets is the tax levy. We're showing the tax levy amount that the city has to contribute, the replacement tax that the city has to contribute, and an estimate of the expenditures that the fund is going to have, which is basically the pensioners.
Right.
The other part of it is just kind of a plug-in. Because we really don't, as Mary stated before, we really don't budget for this. It's kind of a wild guess, really.
Okay, so we don't place a whole lot of
no
reliance or need for this $472,000.
No. No.
Okay.
No,
good.
We can't.
No. It's not monies that we're actually going to pay out, which is basically with a budget. It's just part of our process to put a budget together for this, our best estimate at the time. And of course, in these times, that estimate is very.
I thought it was overly optimistic, put it lightly, and so I needed to make sure that we weren't counting on it. Too terribly.
No.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
Alderman Flanagan.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just
Sorry. I was just kind of still perplexed about the IMRF and most of that is levied, right, on our tax bills? Is that how? Because I know I see it on our tax bills.
The pension is.
Right.
The current year, the tax levy for next year is $494,000. Of the 719 in revenue. Does that answer your question?
I think so.
Oh.
I'm still confused, and maybe I'll.
Sorry, I was just going to say the rest comes from the city.
Okay, so the city pays for X amount of percentage. You said 10 to 14% you were going to do?
Right now it's just under 10%.
Okay.
And the employee contributes 4.5%.
Right, and we're going to increase our portion to 14%.
Based on what the IMRF board is telling us to do, yes.
Okay, and then the balance of that is levied, tax levied?
The tax levy is bringing in about half, a little over half
okay.
Of this, and we
have the shortfall.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I shouldn't interrupt you.
No, that's all right. We have a certain amount that we are supposed to, we're supposed to be 100% funded in order to meet those retired benefits, because it's a defined benefit plan, and we are close. We were close to being fully funded, but because of the loss of investments that IMRF has seen, they're not going to be able to pay those pensions. So they're asking the employers to step up their contributions to this. So whatever the levy doesn't cover, then yes, we are supposed to try.
That's what
to,
I wanted to find
yes,
out.
Yes, we are supposed to make up the rest.
I just wanted to kind of understand and clarify it in my head, because I do see that on our tax bills, and I'm not quite sure how we, you know, all those percentages play into it here. So, and the refuse fund, you mentioned. Thank you, Don. On the refuse fund, you mentioned that there was a $7K. Would that be eliminated then off of our as an expense or estimated budget? Regarding the recycling?
Oh, the hazardous waste?
Yes, that's
true. That'll go away, because there is no offer this year.
Okay, so that amount will...
Residents, if they have hazardous waste...
we'll have to hold on to
any television set, for that matter. They can drop it off in Naperville or Aurora.
The electronics,
program.
Right?
Right at the city line would be fine.
Just north of Gray Street, it'll be taken care of.
Okay. I think that's all of my questions. Thank you.
You're welcome. Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mayor, as we went through this, actually my biggest concern was Special Service Area 1 seems to be the one that we're all feeling was kind of put together over the years, and things got stuck on there. In one fell swoop here, we've knocked $6,000 out of it. Is there any other way to pare this down anymore? It seems to me that we're taking money out of the general fund to fund more than half of this.
And we have been for several years.
Exactly. Can we pare this down at all? I mean, I see things in here. I'm not quite sure what they are. Where is it? The printing and publication, parking control. We've got things that are up quite a bit. Is there anything we can do with this to pare it down at all?
That's your intro.
I mean, no, we're not going to do it right this second.
Can I jump in?
Sure.
We raise money as volunteers for the Geneva Beautification, and we do rely on some X amount of dollars that come in from this fund. And it was as a result, because we no longer were able to get free flowers. So what I would like to recommend is... excluding the beautification item from this year's budget and just rely on what we have in our funds, but to ask that the council please put that line item back into the budget if things get better next year, because our fund then will be depleted to a degree that I would like to be self-funded sometime, you know what I'm saying? And I because we just don't have the volunteer efforts that for fundraising as we do. So if I can make a motion, I would.
Second. I'm unclear about the motion, because doesn't the motion affect next year's fiscal budget?
No. Well,
I mean,
09-10.
09-10 you're talking.
Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought you meant...
The one that we're talking...
Got it.
But I just wanted to make sure that it was in the record that if...
And what's the
we
dollar?
Don't get that totally eliminated somewhere along the line in the future. You know what I'm saying? I want to give it up this year. But I mean,
that's wonderful, Dorothy. I mean, that's obviously very much appreciated by everybody. But that's what I'm talking about, is things that we can kind of pare out of there. What's the dollar amount on that, by the way?
$11,000.
$5,000 allocated for beautification. $5,000 for benches, and then $1,000 for bike racks.
Okay, so we've eliminated the 11, right?
Well, no, we have a motion.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We could eliminate the 11.
If we do another motion, we can eliminate the.
We have a motion offered by Flanagan and seconded by Dakota, so now we can only talk to the motion.
Okay.
You're talking
only for...
I'm talking motion.
Streetscape beautification, no, it's for 5,000 beautification, 5,000 bench, and 1,000...
We already did the bench and the 1,000. We already did the bench and the bike rack.
Just the 5,000.
So it's just the 5,000 for flowers.
Comment on the motion?
On the motion, yeah. Thank you, Mayor. That was actually... I was going to bring up SSA 1 also, but that was the one thing I would recommend leaving in. because even though it's $5,000, I feel like the beautification effort, you're already doing all the labor for nothing, and to me, the flowers and the garden of all the knuckles adds to the feeling of vitality of the downtown.
But I don't believe we're eliminating the flowers. You're not eliminating your program.
No, we're not eliminating the program. We're just hopefully just eliminating the contribution for this year, if I can.
But doesn't the $5,000 include the water and the public works staff, or is that a different line item of the SSA 1?
That doesn't show up anyplace.
No, it does. The staff does.
Yeah, we'll let Mary address that.
Thank you.
The $5,000 is a contribution to the flowers only. If you look in the wages for 25-5, that is the downtown streetscape.
Right, okay. So that's who, that, it would still be maintained. So,
and again, this is 25% of those two persons'
that amount,
wages
that amount,
and benefits.
And
basically.
That amount basically pays for about a third of our flowers.
And I'll say also that when you see the special projects capital list coming forward, we were going to propose another $5,000 in that budget for beautification as well, to split between general fund and special service area 1 for a total of $10,000. But we can take that out as well if that's the wish of the council.
Well, that was just my opinion on the motion.
Wait, so
thank you.
I missed that. The $10,000 came from where?
No, an additional $5,000 came from a separate budget item further on
right.
down.
Oh, okay, the yeah, additional so, ten. No. I'm sorry. Okay.
So on the motion, any other comments?
Yeah.
Mr. Brown?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I think we're making a mistake here. We should not be decreasing our funding for the downtown business area. I think this is a total mistake in the times we have. I hope to keep business up on 3rd Street, our whole downtown shopping area this summer, and I think this beautification is a very small amount, and if I remember, the mayor promised at some point that some of the tax increment we'd get from the Canuck Commons would be reinvested in the downtown, and this is an example of just that. And I think cutting back on our investment in the downtown right now is the wrong thing to do. I think this $11,000, I voted against reducing the bike rack and the benches, and I will vote against this too because I think the beautification of downtown is something we've got to keep doing. We've got to keep investing in our downtown, and just because it's a bad year, this is the one place we should not reduce our investment. I think there are lots of other places we could find the $11,000, but this is the wrong place to be finding it. I think we should continue to invest in our downtown, so I will vote against this motion. Thank you.
And just for the record, it wasn't this mayor that promised that. It was this council that promised that investment. And that investment continues to this day. And just for the record as well, the contributions, or I should say the transfer of funds generated from our friends on Randall Road actually pays for, in part, the street maintenance workers that dedicate their time and talent to preserve the very downtown that Alderman Brown is talking about. So that exists. That's in place. So SSA number 1 only pays for 25% of the workforce that operates in the downtown from the city staff. The other 75% comes from the general fund. So if we really want to slash away at a budget, there's another fund out there with all sorts of cash we can slash away. So on the motion, of course.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Alderman Brown, I do agree. I don't like slashing anything from the downtown any more than anyone else does. And I appreciate Alderman Flanagan for bringing this up. Again, we're not going to eliminate that program. This is a tough year, and tough decisions have to be made. In a matter of an hour and a half tonight, we seem to have come up with already $11,000 that could possibly be cut out of the 104 that we pulled out of the general fund. This is the one SSA that really seems to be not paying for itself, and even though it is the downtown, we may have to come up with better ways to do this, or maybe not do quite as much as fast as we would like. The downtown's a beautiful place. We don't get a couple benches this year and a bike rack. I don't think it's going to affect next year that dramatically. I really don't. I mean, as far as the flowers go, the beautification committee does a fantastic job every single year. It's amazing. It's a beautiful job in the downtown. For Dorothy to say, you know what, we don't want the $5,000. She's in charge of that committee. She knows something we don't know. So hopefully she'll be able to pull that off and with our help get some more funding. And thank you for bringing that up.
Look for a lot of donations.
Absolutely.
Everybody hear me?
I have no problem with that. And that should come from people. people in downtown and other places, but we have tough decisions to make, and I think this might be one of them.
See, that's what I was talking about. So, on the motion, anyone else? Mr. Maladra?
Yeah, I'll echo Alderman Piper's comments. I think that what Dorothy's proposing actually helps us conserve our funds and does nothing to reduce the beautification effort downtown. We're still going to have flowers in the knuckles. We're still going to have plantings. It's going to self-fund, self-seed this year. And if we keep it as a line item, just reduce the allocation this year to zero, we're good. We voted to get rid of a bench. We get no bench. In this case, we vote to save $5,000. We still get flowers. I think that's a win.
On the motion, Mr. Hill, Mr. Dakota.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a little bit concerned if we eliminate the $5,000 in the budget for the downtown beautification. Are you really going to get that much more in contributions to maintain the beautification that we've had over the past several years? I'm thinking, like Alderman Brown, that we don't want to take too much beautification from the downtown area. It's the core of this community, business-wise. Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Dakota?
Yes, we will get more money because we're going to get some from you. We're going to wring it out of you.
You have to.
Necessity is the mother of invention. And up until a few years ago, we didn't require any money. We didn't raise any money. But when we lost our benefactor that was giving us $1,000 worth of flowers, we woke up to the fact, like any bureaucracy, when you get something for nothing, why work? But we found out that we didn't have any funds, and so we decided to work and we raised money. So, as I say again, if required, we will work to raise enough money to maintain the beautification. Let's not confuse the beautification that we, the beautification committee, does with the other beautification on 3rd Street, which is maintained by the city, by the two workers, I think, that we have doing this kind of work. But the city beautification will do its part. No failing. Now, I say this with the knowledge that I have today, but I think we can work harder and get some money.
Yeah. I'll help you do that, Alderman.
You're on.
Oh, good.
Ms. Flanagan?
That's what I wanted to hear.
And I'm ready to donate a shovel, too, for Alderman Singer to shovel the street there by that school in Greensburg. Mm-hmm. I've got an extra shovel at home. In fact, I'll donate two shovels if you have someone who wants to work on them and use them.
Anybody got a free snowblower?
Do you want to address that now?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else on the motion? Dorothy?
I just wanted to interject something. Because of the tight budget, I did want to do this. But if push comes to shove, we'll just eliminate some, fall planting in certain areas, and that's how we'll...
Lots of perennials.
And we'll ask for lots of perennials, right, and bulbs. So we'll try. I'm not opposed to begging. I beg a lot, so, and I'll continue to do that for the beautification.
Bagging.
The motion was to eliminate this line item, or I should say zero out this line item.
Thank you.
But leave it in existence for future consideration. Is it safe to assume that the motion also includes the elimination of the $5,000 line item in the additional budget?
The general fund.
In the general fund?
Just the general. To cover?
It was going to be the capital.
Now you're going too far.
Yeah,
because it needs to be determined one way or the other. And obviously, the one issue that has not been raised—it's not germane to the motion, but just for the heck of it, since we're in COW meeting, no one ever discussed raising the rate from 13% to 15% either. So I think it speaks to the issue that we're all very, very fiscally conservative this year, and we don't want to spend money we don't have to. We certainly don't want to raise taxes that we don't need to.
Okay.
So I think the question remains, if we're going to zero out this line item, do you wish to zero out the line item of $5,000 in the general fund as well?
Question. And what would that eliminate then?
An additional $5,000.
For flowers.
For flowers.
For flowers only.
Correct.
So
you could buy silk flowers and be done with this whole thing.
So the beautification committee would have to raise a total of $10,000 to
replace what has been eliminated on these two line item.
I would argue it this way. The beautification committee won't have to do a darn thing. The citizens of this community, if they so are so engaged and enthralled by the beauty of the downtown because of the flowers, they will step up. People give when they're asked to give, pure and simple. We all bought tickets to Pasta for Posies. We'd all go. In fact, we'd probably save money by not going, which is great. But if this community lives and dies by the beautiful flowers that sprout from the ground every spring, then this community has to step up and help pay for those flowers through a generous or modest gift of $10, $20, $25 a call it a day. Because I can guarantee you, there are people who don't care, and they don't want the general fund or the SSA number one subsidizing it, a.k.a. the LEAF program. Yes, sir.
But I think, Mayor, and I do agree with you that, and particularly,
I can see the headlines tomorrow on Brenda Sherry, anti-flower mayor. It's like, you know,
no, just the opposite. I think, Mayor, I think what you're proposing is, you know, we are pro flowers, if you will.
We're starting and Dorothy and for a cemetery plot for the mayor.
Hey, I'm going to be cremated instead on Third Street.
Ooh, I don't need beautification.
Don't print that either, Brenda, for God's sake.
Go ahead, Ray.
Promise it.
We could put you in one of the gardens.
That'd be good.
I'm hungry.
Motion to censure that man in the back. Go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Mayor. But, Kevin, I do believe you're correct, and I think Paul and Dorothy can attest to this. You know, when the beautification committee was first started, the question was, geez, you know, how many people are actually going to come out and plant the knuckles, and where are these groups going to come from? And now you have more groups than you have knuckles. And the groups take a lot of pride in their plantings. And, you know, if the word got out that, you know, it's a lean year and, you know, perhaps we're going to have to bring our own flowers, you know, I don't think that's going to be a problem. I think that the community has a ton of pride and people will step up.
I'll give you my email and you can start working on the
group. Sure.
I'll tell you, one of the silver linings of all this could be perhaps flowers isn't the way to go. Maybe public art. What do you think of that, Paul? We have a question from the audience. Sir?
Rocks.
What's it?
Rocks. Mr. Mayor, City Council, thank you for letting me address the group. It seems to me that the strategic plan calls for the development and the historic preservation of beautiful downtown Geneva. And what you're debating here, like you did with the bike racks and with the benches, is inconsistent with the plan for the beautification and preservation of downtown Geneva. I mean, if as long as you see any vacant office space, as long as you see that there's a need to continue to bring businesses here, as long as you recognize there's a need to have the businesses stay open later, and all those, and you want to bring people to the festivals, and you want to continue. I think I read somewhere that the gateway to Geneva is at Cost Rail, but I really think the gateway to Geneva is downtown Geneva. And to take anything away when you're talking about a scintilla, I mean, a scintilla of your budget for flowers. Now, I think the Geneva Lions Club does maintain one of those flower beds, but I understand the groups that do that, the city provides the flowers. So when we go to the members of the Lions Club and other groups, they're saying, well, the city provides the flowers, and we just need you to work it. I'm not sure if I have that correct, but I believe that's how it worked. So to ask them to dig even deeper and say, well, now we're going to buy the flowers as well. Every group that's helping this community is also facing the same kinds of problems. We're donating more and more, giving more and more, and there's only so much to give. So I think if you're going to strike any line items from any part of the budget, it would be a shame to attack that part. I mean, this is just seems it's not even an eye of the needle. This is so small for your entire budget to, you know, I think the flowers make a huge statement. I think the bike racks are phenomenal. I think benches are phenomenal. So fiscally, you know, to be fiscally responsible is great, but this isn't the place, I think, for these teeny tiny items that make such a difference for you to be that, to cut the budget at that point. And thank you for allowing me to make a comment.
You're welcome. Thank you.
May I ask a question, sir? Where would you cut the budget? Because it is going to have to be cut. Things are going to have to, you know, times are going to be tough. They are tough.
Well, I'd cut the budget by not paying the aldermen. think they ought to,
That's been proposed.
You know, serve, because it's something, it's community service. There's one place. Probably pays for a lot of flowers.
How about
maybe all the benches?
It's okay with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of other places we could cut the budget.
Like where?
Maybe we can't give the increases in wages that we'd like to. You know, people, everybody at least has a job.
We're veering from the motion that's on the floor. Mr. Warlick has made a statement regarding the motion that's on the floor and has stated so eloquently.
I apologize.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Alderman Dakota's
question. Egg you on. I shouldn't have said egg you on. Don't put that either, Brenda, whatever you say.
It's easy to talk about grandiose things. It's difficult to do.
I agree with you, Mr. Dakota,
right.
But it. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that, I thought of striking the item on the SSA, but, you know, I don't know if I want to strike it all because I don't want my volunteers to become disheartened either. So I don't know if I want to include the general
fund. I just wanted to clarify because we'll address that issue later on. We might want to tackle it now. So,
Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, I have a feeling you're going to ask to call the question, right?
No.
Oh, shoot.
I wonder if you'd like a donation from me for your flower committee.
Cool. Yes, we will. Thank you.
All right. I'll call it.
I'm curious.
Well,
we have a motion. Dawn?
Thank you. I was just going to say that I'll change my vote to support slashing it, knowing that we have it in the general fund still. I want us to keep in mind to keep downtown alive and vibrant and beautiful. But I didn't realize we had 5,000 SSA and 5,000 in the. So that's fine. I'll support your motion as long as we keep it in the general fund. Thank you.
Proposed.
Pardon?
Proposed.
Proposed. Well, that's another week. That's tomorrow, Scarlett.
Mr. Berkeley.
Tomorrow, Scarlett.
I guess knowing that we have the blessing of the co-founder and the current chairman of this, I'd support it, but normally I would vote against this. But also knowing that we have another 5,000 staying in the general fund makes me feel a little better about it. So I'll support the motion as it stands at just the one $5,000. Thank you.
Proposed.
I'll call the question.
The question's been called. The motion stands. Madam Recording Secretary, please take the roll.
William Barclay?
Aye.
Jeff Brown?
Nay.
Paul Dakota?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Ray Powell?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
The motion passes 9-1. And according to my notes, Piper still has the floor, yes.
Thank you, sir.
I'd like to make a motion to eliminate the testiness budget from Mr. Piper. I was just checking my notes there.
Okay.
Good person.
Okay, what
okay.
else we got?
We got through that, and thank you very much for that, Dorothy. As long as we're on a roll, where else can we go with this as long as we're sitting here?
Capital expenditure.
I think we should break open our cookies.
I mean, you know.
Where are we at?
Parking lot improvement. Yeah, what's parking lot improvement? That's up 16.5.
That's the overflow lot, about 31.
Okay.
And also, we're looking at these two lots north of City Hall. So I believe is it just those three lots, Dan?
But is it actually critical?
Yeah, what needs to be done, Dan?
The Route 31 lot comes out of the commuter fund. That's the overflow lot.
Right.
And then I believe the City Hall lot, and we might be doing some work over Block 51. This is not total resurfacing. This is patching and seal coating. We're at a point where we're just trying to do some seal coating to maintain and extend the life of
That's the total 16.5?
Parking lots.
Mm-hmm. Parking lots.
But part of that comes out of the commuter fund.
For the overflow lot.
That's a separate. That's in the overflow lot is out of the commuter fund. You'll see.
Right. But the overflow lot's included in the 16.5?
No. That's a separate.
That's just for these lots.
That's just for these lots.
They can't hang on a year without this.
Yes, they can.
I mean,
great.
How horrible are they? Are we talking about huge potholes? Are we talking about?
There are potholes that need to be addressed. Can it wait by just potholing and not actually doing a patch? Sure, we can get by. It's one of those things that you try to balance. That's why it's not a total resurface. It's what we picked out as doing patching to extend the life of that parking lot. Mm-hmm. If we just pothole, you know, we'll have to address it more as we move forward. But It'll be on the list for next year, most likely.
Right.
You know, if funding permits.
Hopefully.
Make a motion.
Craig?
Yeah, question on that. So I think the question is not necessarily can you wait a year. I think the question is better asked how many years can it wait? Because there's no guarantee that next year is going to be better. In fact, it may be worse and the following year may be worse. So how many years can we get by with shortcuts?
I think you run into the issue of similar to streets. You can wait on doing streets. You can wait on doing parking lots. Eventually, it's going to come back and haunt you because you'll have a large investment to make in order to get those lots back. So, yes, it can be deferred. It's just, and I don't know how long we can get by. I'd have to go look at them again to see that. But it's just a matter of as you postpone those lots, there are other lots that are also aging. So now instead of having just these lots, now you have twice as many lots. You know, that's how it compounds.
Right. But what's your gut on possibly deferring this?
Or a portion?
If we were to do spot patching / pothole maintenance, I'm sure we can get by.
So that takes it from 16.5 to what to do that?
You might, sir.
Ballpark.
Probably get by with like $2,500, something like that, or just give me a dollar amount and not to exceed, and we'll do what we can.
Right.
Mr. Mayor,
if I could, just to let everybody know, we have gone through an exercise to ask these very questions and to defer what we can and to put on the list those things. Rather than perhaps six lots, we're putting on three lots this year. So the budget that we're bringing to you has already been scaled back. We've looked at those lists, and I'm sorry I don't have that with me tonight, but we've looked at that list, and we've said, yes, we can defer everything to next year, but next year is not going to probably be any better than this year, and the year after that probably isn't going to be any better either. So we're going to be in this situation for a while, I believe, but we need to maintain. We need to do some. We can't do everything that we want, and the budget that we're presenting to you, we have worked on for weeks trying to prioritize and to scale back and to say we think that these things need to be done. So we can eliminate these three lots from the list, but I think all it's going to do is compound the pressure on us next year and the year after. I do think that we need to maintain what we can maintain and try to keep up as much as possible. So I would encourage that these lots get the seal coating that I think that they need. I mean, it's we talked endlessly about what level of maintenance and how many, and we feel that we can get a good price, you know, on these, and that we should go ahead. So I would recommend going ahead with them.
I understand that, Mary, and I appreciate that. I know that you guys have done that, and obviously we're finding a couple things here today we can further go through. I guess what I know you want to recommend to go forth with it, dances we can live with. I'm not sure what to do with this. Seems to me if we take your route, now we're up to between the 11 and the, we're around 25 grand. Again, how long can we continue to throw this money into this fund? You know what I mean? I'm concerned about the long term of the SSA. Every year, it's $100,000+, and it just keeps going up. At what point do we say, Uncle, we've got too many things in this SSA that doesn't pay for itself, and we're taking money out of the general fund to do so?
Been going on for years.
It's been this way for years, right?
But it's now coming to a head because, you know, now look at the situation that the entire economy's in. Now we've got to nitpick every little thing.
But there is a maintenance component that we have to acknowledge.
Absolutely. I defer to Dan.
Well, Mr. Hill?
If it has to be done, then that's what we should do.
And Dorothy?
Thank you, Mayor. As Mary has said, the staff has really been studying all of these issues and all of these items, all of these lines. Everything that we see listed here has been studied and worked over very seriously. And I think maintenance items, if we were to eliminate some of the maintenance items or reduce them to the point where we would eventually have to totally resurface a parking lot, it's all the way down to the dirt,
because we have not done our job for the and allow them to do the minor maintenance that this is calling for, that we're really making a serious mistake. And I'm wondering if it's our role tonight and maybe next Monday night on these budget items to really get to this nitpicking that we seem to be doing. We'll be here until 3 a.m. if we continue along these lines, but I'm not too sure we'll be that effective, and I'm concerned that we're going to reduce the downtown area into an area that's going to be filled with parking lots that have potholes, and I think we can take care of the flower beds properly with contributions, but if we keep nitpicking the way we're talking about it this time, I think we're headed for a downtown area that's going to start looking like it's deteriorating quickly. And that will certainly affect our taxes, that will certainly affect our visitors, and it will certainly affect the businesses in our community. Thank you, sir.
Madam Flanagan and Mr. Melandra.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to ask, maybe this will be for Mary or whoever, do you pee in your third rail? Is there some way that we can get some funds to cover some of the issues that we have with bike racks, if they can, you know, because they're eliminating 30, how many spaces?
Could they pay? Almost 100.
Yeah. Could they pay for the bike racks because they're impacting our downtown parking commuter?
My hope, Dorothy, is that we can get them to reduce the lease fee that we pay them because okay. of the loss of those spaces.
Okay, and you don't think we can recoup any of these items that we have?
We can ask.
I'm a beggar.
Never hurts to ask.
So I would ask. Thank you.
Craig?
Following on Alderman Hill's comments, one thing, Mary, that you mentioned when you were doing your presentation is that expenses seem to have been added to SSA number one sort of in a piecemeal approach. And so I've kind of wondered what kind of oversight we've had over that fund and perhaps what we need to do rather than try and really get into the details tonight is have a sort of an SSA one overview or study so we can see what's really going on in there, get under the covers and see what's been added, what the rationale was, and how we got into the situation we're in.
By ordinance, there is a committee that oversees this. It used to
be... I understand that, but the idea
that... the Geneva Business...
The question is more along the lines of they've been adding things piecemeal in such a way that more and more has had to come in from the general fund. I don't know that that oversight body has been budget conscious as a primary goal or objective.
Well, that would take an ordinance amendment to change that.
All I was saying is rather than try and cut out 1,000 here tonight, 1,000 there tomorrow night, let's take a look at SSA number one and see what's going on in there. That's all.
Then it seems to me we do need an ordinance change if nobody wants to sit here and nitpick this. Because as I look at this,
I'm nitpicking.
I don't know. That's okay. I understand.
I don't know that we're going to make any real progress.
Well, we've made a little bit of progress already. And
right,
obviously, we could make more. And if we don't want to do that because it's going to cost us long-term dollars, I understand all that. But every year, the money out of the general fund goes up that we put into this. So going back to what Craig said, if we are just piecemealing things in there, then maybe we do need an ordinance change.
My suggestion would be for, like many of the other budgets, that this be overseen by perhaps economic development, who works with the downtown businesses, which this SSA covers. But that would seem appropriate to me as opposed to a committee of volunteers, because that economic development director could very well relate this to the rest of the budget, where the committee may see those expenditures that they need but not really be so concerned with the transfer from the general fund in order to make up that deficit. So that might be something that the council would want to consider.
Plus, isn't there an alderman on that committee too? Isn't one of us on that committee? There you go.
Who's on?
It's your
fault. That explains everything.
Yeah.
Well, it used to be Craig and me, so I don't.
Mr. Brown?
I think I got fired.
Started
Thank
the
you,
giveaway.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Brown has the floor.
I think we've descended into silliness here. I think it's true what Alderman Maladra suggested. This council needs to be reminded of how special service area came into being and what it was for. Many, many years ago, it was decided that in order to help save the downtown, noticing that some of our fellow villages out here in the western suburbs were having troubles, that we needed to put more money into the downtown area, the downtown business area. The local businessmen were asked and indeed agreed by vote to set up a special service area so they could also contribute some extra funds. Remember, they all pay property tax. This is a tax above and beyond their property tax to help put extra funds. It was never fully funded with the SSA tax, never. It was always there was funds from the general fund. This was an attempt by the city council to beef up the amount of money we put into the downtown along with the help of the downtown merchants. Not 100%. It's always been of order 50-60%. I think it's a fund which has been over the years has done a lot of good things. It's probably helped save our downtown compared to some of our neighboring towns. I think it's done what it was originally meant for. And let's get on to slightly change the subject and segue into a different thing. It is the policy of this council should be setting policy, not trying to decide whether one of our department heads has done a good job on his preventative maintenance, trying to apportion it out. And indeed, when the city administrator has asked them to go over their budgets with a fine-tooth comb, I presume they have. And I presume that the preventative maintenance that's in this budget is what was left after he took all the other items of preventative maintenance off. I think it's crazy for this council, for any council member who hasn't gone out and specifically looked at the specific lots in question, sat down with the department head, gone over his long-range plan for preventative maintenance on all the items that is under his control, to take one of them and ask us to vote on it when we also have not had a chance to go out and look at the lots in question, had a chance to sit down with the department head, go over the long-range preventative maintenance on all the items under their control, which are many millions of dollars worth. Preventative maintenance is a wrong way to go, even when times are tough. But to get back to the original question, special service area number one, I think, has been doing what it was meant to do originally when set up with by the council, and I would suggest the council members go back and review the long-term budgets of this area and what it has accomplished long-term and realize that I think going forward it's going to continue to do what it's doing with approximately a 50% contribution from all of us in our property taxes and an extra contribution above and beyond their property taxes from the businesses in the downtown special service area number one to help keep our downtown healthy. So I like what this budget has been doing. I like what it's continuing to do it, and I certainly do not want to nitpick its budget any more than we've done tonight, which I think is too much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Dawn, then Bob.
Well, thank you. And I just had one question about the SSA one. And did we used to have facade improvement in, wasn't that part of SSA 1?
Was it, yes. Was it SSA?
Yeah.
Or was it general? It general? In capital general.
Okay, so not part of this. Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Bob?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want everybody to understand here. One, I didn't ask for a vote on anything. I don't want to adversely affect the downtown. I have a question on SSA 1 because of the amount of money that's spent. I think it's done a great thing, but I'm certainly not going to sit here and not question what's put in front of me and sit here like some sheep and let you just lay stuff in front of me and say, okay, I'm sure you've looked at it and we'll walk away from it. I'm not doing that. I'm not just going to blindly vote. We're here to ask questions. You don't like it? Go get a sandwich. Wait till I'm done. How does that sound? I think it's fair that we all get to ask questions. I just like to know what's going on with this. I don't want to nitpick this budget to pieces, but at the end of the day, I think that's what we're here to do.
There is not a motion on the floor. There's simply been some queries made and some debate had. So Mr. Piper still has the floor.
I'm done. I didn't waste the time.
Alderman Vogelsberg.
No, that was it.
That was
Thank
it?
You.
You
yeah, I'm finished.
I got a list of Maine folks here.
That was my question about that.
It's my turn then to recognize Mr. Pollack for a second time, unless someone wants to speak for the first time. And this is on all the funds, folks. This is on the whole ball of wax, man, the whole shindig. Baby. Piggly, piggly, nitty-picky. Just trying to lighten up here, folks. Mr. Pollack, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor. Back to special service number one.
Slipped that
just
one.
Just watch Ultimate Fight Club.
That's Bob and Ray doing tag team.
yes, sir.
Printing and publications, $3,000.
It's for advertising, I'm sure. I'm sure it's for advertising the downtown area. A
lot of finger pointing going on.
No, actually, that's the print the documents you're reviewing tonight.
They're online.
Yep. Mr. Dinges, the $3,000 line item, does that fall under your purview?
I think Ellen can speak to that.
Or Ellen.
Because I looked at the Economic Development Director, but I'm going to ask Mr. Weiss
now. She looked away.
The large portion of that is used by the police department when they print parking. They print, they have things printed by Rydell Printing Decal, you know, parking.
No parking?
Stickers for the people, the residents that live in the area that have
tickets.
Parking. There's some printing costs for that kind of stuff. They use a large portion of it.
So the laws we passed to prohibit student parking at the high school to print those permits for the residents to hang came out of that budget? Probably.
If it was in this, in the special service area number one, yes.
No, that doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't sound too definitive.
I think the short answer is, we don't know what the hell that's for, right? So
who's going to take on the police department?
There are residential permits within this area.
No, we need some clarification, Mayor, as to what this $3,000 is actually for.
No, but Mr. Devine, it is. But believe me, all our feet are hotter than hell. But it's like, we're hold on.
We don't know.
We haven't descended to silliness, but we're having a damn good time, that's for sure.
We know what we don't recall.
We will confirm with the chief, but I believe that money is utilized, as Mr. Brown indicated, for the parking permit program for residents surrounding the downtown.
In special service area.
That's within SSA number one.
Yeah, so. Clarification.
We'll clarify with the chief. Sure.
Two other quick questions.
SSA number one, though.
And thanks, Mary. And then the other two quick questions are, the IMRF is asking us to make up for their poor investments by mandating we contribute
more,
but that's not by law, is it?
Yes.
Or is it?
Yes.
It is by law.
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
It's not the IMRF, it's the state legislature.
State statute.
State statute. Okay, and then last one for Don. Regarding the pension boards, how are the management fees paid? Is it fee-based or is it percentage? How about performance-based? Have you contemplated that?
That's determined by the pension boards. They hire the firms that manage their funds. Okay, and assist then, in the management.
And then how are their fees?
I can't answer that tonight. I can answer.
You know any
answer
money managers who do performance-based fees?
Yeah, I was going to be saying.
Hey, it's a question, Craig.
Okay, I can just supply check that information to you.
If you could, that'd be great.
Sure.
Thanks, Don.
What do you want, Warren Buffett?
Mr. Pollack has been recognized for the second time. Is there anyone else who has any questions at all about any of the funds discussed tonight? Mr. Brown?
Just like to make one simple point about special service area number one. When it was first set up, it was recognized it would be about half funds from the general fund and half from the special tax on the downtown business areas. The original committee that oversaw this had three aldermen and three members of the business community within SSA number one. That has been changed to have only one alderman on it. That may be part of the reason why the current council is not familiar with SSA number one and how it works, is because the representation of the council is much less than the 50% that it originally was on the committee that set this up. I know I was one of the original members. So.
Was it the Joint Parking Committee, Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun committee, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But it was equal representation.
Yes, it was.
For the two parties to this special service area, which was 50% merchants downtown and 50% the citizens of Geneva as represented by their council.
Anyone from the audience, any questions at all regarding the funds discussed this evening? About anything, quite frankly.
Which, as I say, is a policy issue which this council should be addressing, the policy of the special service area, as opposed to...
Actually, the special service area number one governing structure has been changed twice.
Yes, indeed.
From joint parking to the...
Downtown.
GBC.
GBC, then the... Yeah, exactly. In an effort to streamline and make it more accountable, transparent, and
the representation of the citizens has been decreased each time on this.
Well, actually, but all those...
Policy question, which I think...
It is a policy, but all those meetings are public meetings. We can't force people to attend public meetings.
True enough.
As is evidenced by the large crowd here today.
Well, we have one tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, right here.
Questions from anyone in the audience tonight regarding the budget discussions we've had, or anyone else from the dais?
Yeah, I had one comment about, just to be clear, I understand what the SSA does. I know what the history of it was. What I was commenting on is the fact that expenses have been growing piecemeal, and I don't necessarily understand what the plan is behind each piece that's been added. That was all. Thanks.
Whether we like to admit it or not, there are sacred cows, and none of us are willing to slay that sacred cow called the downtown, despite the fact that, while we all might privately say, God, we just simply can't afford it, who the heck's going to vote against it? It's the downtown. You know, the reality is, folks, we've got to make the tough decisions, and that's what I'm prepared to be here all night tonight and have the debate. It's awesome. Mr. Devine?
See, he's been trained. He knows. Walks right up.
Yes.
Well done.
You know, what does Mrs. Devine call me? Is it make him walk up to the podium?
Mr. Mayor, City Council, the mayor made an excellent point about who's going to vote against some of the expenses in SSA number one. I, as a citizen, would say, before we vote against it, why don't we at least peel back the onion and see what's in there? I'm not saying that there's anything in there that's not appropriate, but what would be the harm in at least taking a look? You know, pulling the veil back and seeing what's been added over the years. And also, maybe we should revisit the fact that if there's only one member of the City Council on the committee, maybe the committee should be balanced out with the same number of councilmen and businessmen. Your thoughts. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you, Mr. Devine. Mr. Dakota.
I question whether we should be shoveling these Third Street sidewalks, you know? Why can't the proprietors and businesses shovel?
To Mr. Devine's point, that matter was voted on.
It was an item that we voted on.
It was not a unanimous vote.
I don't remember what the vote was.
I believe it may have been 9-1 or 8-2. But I know that there's a gentleman here tonight who did not support that for that very philosophical reason. Exactly. Yeah. Right, exactly. So.
And where is that part reflected? That's not in...
That's the street maintenance work.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Mr. Devine, you're absolutely correct. I think I've been on the council since 97. I served on the Joint Parking Committee. And there's a lot of pride and promise and potential and all that other P words about downtown. And just expanding our language that, you know, now the downtown includes Anderson Boulevard to East Side Drive. I haven't heard a higgledy-diggledy nor nitty-picky about east of the river.
I brought it up a whole bunch of times.
Well, no, but in theory, you're right, it's tough.
Right.
You know, we've had debates here regarding public investment for private development, and several on the council have voted no, despite it being in the downtown. We've had requests for incentives for certain businesses to locate, and people have voted it down, whether it be in closed session or open, although it is in the downtown. So while we're married to the success of the downtown, we're not so blind as to say yes all the time. But this is what the budget process is all about. So, I would hazard a guess that if the merchants were with us tonight, they'd say, yeah, we can do without some things. We can't do without that. And that'd be a great part of the debate. We don't always hear everything from the merchants. Sometimes we only hear the negative. Sometimes we only hear the positive. But, you know, that's life. And to the gentleman who emailed us all about whether we've walked downtown, we all spend quite a bit of time downtown. Absolutely.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask whether the committee has seen this budget, the Special Service Area Number 1 budget?
Yes, they have.
What was the vote, if I may ask Alderman Hill?
The committee, the Downtown Partnership Committee?
Yes, Geneva Partnership.
We have seen that, Ellen? Okay. It was unanimous in favor of it.
Like the City Council.
For the edification of the audience, I can't rattle off the members, but it is populated by, well, Ellen, do you want to share with us? Populated by business owners?
Chamber
members? Mr. Hill?
But we're not all voting members.
Right. There are 9 people on the committee. 5 of them are voting members, and they're all representatives of the business community. I can't say that we have property owners, and I would like to distinguish between who's paying the tax, the property owner or the business owner. But it's all business owners, and then there's ex officio from the chamber, cultural arts, SPAC, and
I'm sorry, I wished I'd brought my list up here with me, but representative of all the groups that play in and often hold events downtown.
Thank you. I think this is indeed a policy issue we should address, because it sounds like we do have a special service area voted into by referendum on tax bills, which has no voting member from the council on it at the moment.
But just in the spirit of history, when this was changed, when the governing structure was changed, the pre-existing governing board adopted these changes. So, and let's face it, part of the challenge was that the original Joint Parking Committee and the succeeding Geneva Business Commission did not include members from outside the business area, and we were losing that synergy. We were losing a lot of that synergy. We've evolved as a community from let's fear Randall Road to let's work with Randall Road, and hence the governing structure of that commission changed to reflect that new detente.
I understand, but so, we have a special service area here which was established by referendum and exists by ordinance.
That's true.
We have to be a little careful, because we're mixing apples and oranges here.
I think it's
downtown
a hell of a
business
punch.
Committee should indeed represent more than just the special service area number one, but especially taxpayers in special service area number one, who are indeed paying an extra tax above and beyond their property tax, should be represented somehow, and should be represented by some portion of this council.
And they are represented. They are represented.
Well,
no voting members.
May I clarify that, Mr. Mayor?
Sure, fire away.
If I'm supposed to represent the community, the taxpayers, I'm a non-voting member.
Why is
that commission? That's the way it was set up. The History Center...
That's because the City Council and the Committee of the Whole votes on this. You would, in essence, then have two votes. I mean, you're the ultimate arbiter on the City Council, regardless of what committee or commission votes on anything. So you're there to preside, not to preside over, but
right,
to provide insight, advice, input, what have you.
Yeah.
And in some respects, to even steer the commission, should they have questions about how do you think this might fly before the committee or the City Council.
Fine.
Well, here's how the budget process works.
That's true.
So, yeah.
And I try to do that.
Oh, I know.
I think we've mixed up things, and as the mayor correctly points out, the business area has expanded beyond the original referendum area.
Sure.
So now we've got this mixture here where we have people who are paying extra taxes in order to help the city beautify the downtown area. But there are people who we now consider part of the downtown area who are not part of this special service area. So as a matter of policy, which is something this committee should be debating, the question is, should these people have more representation? Should the area be expanded, which would require both a referendum and an ordinance change? Should the area even exist? Maybe it should. All of these items on this list should be funded 100% through the general fund and not 50% through the general fund. I could certainly make an argument that that was the correct way to go. I don't know at this point, but I'm just saying that this has changed somewhat from its original incarnation when it was voted in by referendum by a certain small fraction of the property owners in town and adopted by ordinance by this council. It has morphed over the years into something different, and this may be the correct time for this council, as Alderman Maladra suggested, to have a discussion about what is the policy we should be having here with respect to special service area number one. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Anyone else? Questions about anything that we've discussed this evening? And if the Committee of the Whole does not object, what I'm going to do is entertain a motion to approve all the funds from Fund D through V. Oh, excuse me, W. So we've already made amendments to several. So the main motion I would entertain is to accept all funds presented as amended.
Through V.
Don't move.
Second. Motion by Singer, seconded by Barclay, I believe. Aye. Questions or comments on the motion? Voice vote will suffice. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item W, folks, is consider recommendation of miscellaneous budgets to City Council and public hearing on April 20th, 2009.
Second.
Barclay motions and Maladra seconds. Questions or comments for Ms. McKittrick? Or Mr. Weiss? Seeing none, anyone in the audience? All in favor of item W, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Item 4 is new business. Anyone in the audience tonight, any new business for the benefit of the committee? Mr. Singer?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last Saturday afternoon, a gentleman approached me, a citizen of the city of Geneva, and he wanted me to convey his thanks to the Department of Water from the Division of our Public Works. He had encountered a concern a few Saturdays ago, which he was unable to function and maintain on his own. And he called the department, and a gentleman from the department came out and assisted this gentleman, and he was very, very grateful for that. And he asked me to convey his thanks to the Public Works Department, and particularly the Water Department. So, Dan, if you'd be kind enough to convey that thanks to your department chair, I'd appreciate that very much. And thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Anyone else on the dais? Last chance, audience members. Oh, we have a caller. I'll entertain a motion from Dakota.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Microphones are off.